Good morning. Today we're going to begin the sugya, the discussion of medical malpractice. As we're going to see, the halachos differ radically from the norms today. I think everyone here today has heard stories about litigation involved, you know, negligence, people getting suing for millions of dollars because their coffee was too hot. And medical malpractice is something which is also extremely common. Because of the volume of the lawsuits, the litigation costs, and the size of the awards, doctors pay a tremendous amount of money in insurance for medical malpractice. And ultimately, it's a cost that everyone bears. Because when you go to a doctor, they have to build into the cost, into their fees, the fact they have to protect themselves. Ultimately, it's a price that everyone pays. And as we're going to see, halacha looks at medical malpractice very differently. The obligations are quite different. But to understand the halachas, we have to first, before we get to discuss medical malpractice specifically, before we discuss doctors, we have to have a bit of an overview about general hilchos chavalo, the general halachas of torts. And after that, we can discuss in what ways doctors are different, the specific takanas there, and we can deal with halacha l'maisa. Now, just keep in mind that the halachas are going to change a number of times throughout the shiurim. Until we get to there, are a lot of different factors that play a role, and until the very, you know, don't jump to conclusions until the very end. Things are going to be changing as we go along. Let's begin with a classic case of chavala. A person is driving his Hummer on the highway. Someone cuts him off. You get angry at the person, and you ram into his car. You do it with the intent to damage. You know you're going to hurt the person. You're angry. You're upset. And that's, in fact, what happens. You total the fellow's car. He ends up in the hospital. And he suffered serious damage. What is your liability? How much do you have to pay this person for the damage that you inflicted? So the Mishnah at the beginning of HaChoyvel famously writes, there are chamisha dvarim. When a person intentionally hurts someone else, there are five different types of damages that are assessed. Nezek, tsar, ripoy, shevis, and boishas. So to go through them one by one, the first is nezek. That is the actual monetary loss that he suffers because of the damage. How do we figure that out? Assuming the victim was a healthy 35-year-old male. So we look at his value before the accident and his value after the accident. And that difference between those two values is the damage that you actually caused him. So to determine this number, we take a trip down to the local slave market. We ask them how much, we take this person, we ask him, before the accident, we ask how much what his value would have been, how much he could be sold for as a slave. We now take him after the accident, now that he's crippled, now that whatever permanent damage was done, and we compare the two values. And the difference is the hezek, the difference is the actual damage that you caused the person, and that is how much the mazik will have to pay. Now there is a bit of a discussion in the Rishonim, which slave market to go to. We know there's an Eved Ivri, and we know there's an Eved Kanani. So Rashi sounds like we evaluate him like an Eved Ivri, and in a sense that's very mistavra, because a person can sell himself as an Eved Ivri. A person, a Yid, cannot sell himself as an Eved Kanani. So therefore, if we want to figure out the loss in value, we look at the type of Eved that he can actually sell himself as, and that is the assessment that we use. The Rush argues. The Rush points out that in Eved Ivri, the Rush seems to hold that even when you sell yourself, you're limited to selling for 6 years. So if you have a healthy 35-year-old fellow, as an Eved Ivri, that only captures 6 years of value. What you would have to do is, you'd have to figure out today what the value of selling a 35-year-old slave is. At the same time, figure out what his value will be is when he's 41 or 42, actually. And you'll have to do your assessment by figuring out his value throughout his lifetime. That will be much more than his value as an Eved Kanani. And Zok the Rosh, the halacha is, whenever in Hilchos Mazik, whenever we're trying to assess the damage, we always go lakula. We always try to go easier on the Mazik. The halacha is, if you have a shar, that goes into someone's garden and field and it eats some fruits. So if you want to figure out the value, how much the hezek, we don't say that he ate 10 pounds of apples. What is the market value of 10 pounds? We look at the garden. If the garden had a certain value when the fruits were there, it's now worth less because it has fewer fruits. So that difference in value is what you pay. Now that amount is going to be much less than the market value of the fruits. When you're buying a field, you care less about how many apples there are than if you go into a fruit store. But still, Zakhtar Rush, we see that when we have a choice, when we have different options of how to evaluate the damage, we go lakula, we pick the method that will be less, that will be easier on the mazik, and here as well. We look at him as an Eved Kanani, not as an Eved Ivri. The same way you'll have to make ashar. Right? The same way whenever you buy a slave, whenever you go into a slave market, there is some sort of imputed life expectancy. And the reason why a person is willing to pay for a slave is there's an assumption what his useful life will be. So you have to do a similar concept by an Eved. And by an Eved Ivri. Now the truth is both of these methods really are flawed to a certain extent. Because when you buy a slave, you're paying a certain value for his life's labor. But on the other hand, a slave you have to provide food and shelter to. Certainly by an Eved Ivri, there's a chiyuv to do so. By an Eved Kanani, the halacha is you can say, I say me, v'ni zoncha. But in Lamaisa, if you don't feed him, he probably will not be very productive. And therefore, the norm is certainly to feed him. So looking at his value as a slave is not really capturing his full value because he still needs to eat. But nevertheless, the Imre HaTzvi says that although, technically speaking, if you would look at his how much he'll produce for the rest of his life, the number will be higher. That, he says, is a grama, that speculation based on what will be in the future. We ignore that. We can only look at the actual loss today based on his value on the slave market. That's something which is direct, it's concrete, it's something which is, in theory, he could sell himself today, at least as an Eved Ivri. And that's what we look at. We don't look at future imputed earnings or things like that. This is how to do the Shuma. Imre Tzvi happens to be Mechadish 6 years, but Pashas it means Lo'ilam. And that's the Rosh's Kasha. It'll end up being very expensive because you're going to have to add up, keep on adding up a few assessments, and that's why the Rosh argues. Now the Achrayim point out that this is all if this person had a certain set of skills, that all goes into his value. In general, when you go into the slave market, that's usually for manual labor, and it has a certain value. But if this fellow was an accountant, an attorney, a computer programmer, so we look at the slave value if you'd like to go to Africa and buy yourself a computer programmer. That also has a value, he can be productive, and that will all go into the Shuma. Interestingly enough, there's this halacha that in some cases, the Achrayim say, that breaking his leg may increase his value. Because if he's a slave that's going to do manual labor, so if he's crippled, he certainly can't do as much labor, his value is down. But if he is a computer programmer, he's supposed to be working at his desk, so if you break his leg, he'll be more productive. He can't go out for coffee breaks. And therefore, in theory, you made his value go up as a slave. Nevertheless, in this case, we go l'chumra, and in that case, we'll ignore his skills and see what the loss would have been had he sold himself for manual labor. It's an exception to the case where we're usually makel on the mazik, but that would be the halacha. Now, another interesting halacha is that in the case where a person is crippled, so it's pretty clear cut, you go down to your slave market, you figure out what his value was before, figure out what his value is afterwards, and that is the hezek. What happens if a person claims he can't hear anymore? Or he can't see anymore? Now that's something where there very often there's no physical way of verifying it. You're basing it on his complaint. He's saying, I can't hear. How do you know that it's really true? One of the famous stories about cross-examination is in the 1800s, there was a fellow working on the railroad and there was a work accident. So he sued the railroad. And his lawsuit was that after the accident, even after surgery and he was healed, he wasn't able to lift his arm over his shoulder. So he comes to court and they ask him, can you show us how high you can lift your arm? So he puts on a whole show. He starts, kvetching, gets it up till here. So the lawyer says, okay, good, but how high were you able to lift it before the accident? So his hand shoots up. And that was the end of the case. But in halacha, the halacha recognizes this chashash. When you're a victim, you're angry at the mazik, you have every incentive to try to exaggerate. And therefore, the halacha is, a person claims that he can't see or he can't hear, something where there's no physical proof, the halacha is, Bezdin will not be machai of the person. They wait a zman meruba. They wait a significant amount of time. They give the opportunity to watch this person in action. So there's an assumption that you can't keep the charade on forever, and therefore, after a few months, when we see that Hitaka can't see or can't hear, at that point, we will evaluate what the hezek is. But before that, simply because he claims he has this, he's suffering this damage, that is not enough. We cannot be mighty mammon, and Bezin will not act until it's verified that he actually suffered this damage. Now, based on this way of evaluating the hezek, it comes out that if the victim was a 90-year-old fellow, in all likelihood the nezek would be zero. If he's old enough, if he's not able to work, he does not have a value on the slave market, then there would be no hezek. We'll still have to deal with the other types of damage, the tsar, ripoy, shevis, and boishes. Actually, shevis, there won't be either. But hezek has to be, we're talking about actual financial loss, the fact that he went down in value. And if there's a case where there is no financial value, the person is unemployable, he's not able to work, so there hezek will not apply. The second category of payments are for tsar. Tsar is the actual pain caused by the accident, caused by whatever the mazik did. Now over here there are two levels. They have different ways of evaluating it. If there's a minor pain, the person, you burn someone, you prick someone, there's a minor pain. So there, the way to value, put a dollar amount on what the pain is worth, is we take a little bit of a survey and we ask people, we have to find someone of similar constitution, similar health, and we ask them, how much are you willing to accept for me to give you this burn or to inflict this pain on you? Whatever that number is, whatever people are willing to, whatever dollar amount they're willing to accept to suffer that pain, that is the monetary value of tsar, and that is what you'd have to pay. Now that is a good way of figuring it out. If it is a minor pain, you can find people for money. They're willing to, people have jobs, people suffer a certain amount for money. So there, people at a certain price will be willing to accept a certain level of pain. The problem is what happens in our case of an accident. If you ask someone, how much would I have to pay you to chop off your arm? So normal people, there's no dollar amount in the world that they would accept. So over here, what we need to do is, the Gemara says, we take a field trip down to Saudi Arabia. We find a country where someone stole. What do they do to you if you steal in Saudi Arabia? They chop off your arm. So what we do is we find someone who was caught stealing. And the punishment is that you're going to chop off the arm without any anesthesia, without any painkillers. The executioner then turns to the fellow and says, listen, if you give me a bribe, I can slip you some painkillers before I have to do this. So the amount that a person would pay in order to avoid the pain, that is the way to figure out the tsar, and that is the amount that the mazik would have to pay. Now, if you don't want to go to Saudi Arabia, if there are any doctors here, I guess the way to do it is, the next time you're about to do an operation, you wheel the person to the operating room, you tell them, listen, if you want anesthesia, you got to pay me on the side. And whatever that amount would be, whatever a person is willing to pay to avoid the pain, that is the amount, that is the valuation of the tsar. Now there is an interesting machlokes rishonim. Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Chav Tes is mesupik about, if you think about it, when the person has the operation, if you give them the anesthesia, so at some point the anesthesia will wear off. The pain from this amputation will likely last for weeks or months. So Tosfos has one side that doesn't matter. That what we're dealing with here is the pain caused by the actual incident. I don't know whether a minute, 10 minutes, an hour, but it means at the time that you actually did the damage. What happens later on, the weeks or months in the future, there Taisa says you'd be pater. He considers that a groma, it's not direct. Other Rishayim and Taisus again has another tzad say that no, we don't make such distinctions. The anesthesia means you give him a lifetime supply, however long he needs the painkillers until the pain subsides, and it's not limited to the actual time of the impact. It's a machlokes how to understand the rush. Most achrayim understood that the maskan of the rush is you pay all future tsar. It is not limited to the actual impact. It's not limited to the actual time of the accident. It's any pain that's caused later. But it's not l'kolayam. The Beis Yosef argues, and the Beis Yosef says you only pay for the actual shas ha'hezek. According to the Beis Yosef, it seems you only pay for that moment. What happens in the future, he says, is indirect and is not included in this, in this assessment. Now, the truth is, even this case of tsar, this way of this evaluation is not perfect, because if you're going to someone in Saudi Arabia and asking them, his arm is about to be chopped off, and you ask him, how much would you pay to bribe the guard to get some anesthesia? Really, the person who's going to do that, he doesn't have any idea how painful it is. He's never suffered through this. It's not like he already had one amputation without the painkiller, and now you're asking how much he would pay to have the second one with a painkiller. He never suffered it. It's really his guess or his estimate how much pain there would be. But in this case, there's no better or more accurate way to figure out the tsar, and this is what we'd be saying. The third category of damages is ripoy. You have to pay for the doctor bills. They caused an accident. The person needed to go to the doctors. He needed surgery. So whatever medical expenses there are, the mazik will have to pay for. There is a shitas Rambam is that although normally what we should do is we should, as time goes on, we see what the medical expenses are, and the mazik should be paying everything. Zok the Rambam, Chazal made a special takan over here. They were concerned with what today we have insurance fraud. The mazik, the nizik, who's going to the doctor, has every incentive to rack up the as high of a medical bill as possible. The mazik is the one that's paying for it. It's not coming out of the nizik's pocket. This is a good and effective way to get even with the mazik. If you can't get him back, you can at least bankrupt him. And therefore, there'll be an incentive just to keep on going and just racking up more and more medical expenses. So like the Rambam, because of that, Chazal made a takana. The mazik has the right to ask Beis Din to bring in an expert, examine this victim, and to make an assessment what the ripui should cost, an estimate what the medical costs will be. Once we have that estimate, the mazik will pay that in a lump sum. And at that point, the nizik is on his own. At that point, he has every incentive. If it takes longer, if he ends up with more medical expenses, it'll be his loss. If he ends up spending less, if he heals quicker, it will be his gain. And that way, the nizik has every incentive to try to minimize the medical expenses, and this is a way to protect the mazik and make sure that he will not end up paying for things that are really not necessary. The mashal actually argues, the mashal says this takana was also made for the nizik's benefit. We don't want the victim, every time he needs a procedure, to have to run back to Beis Din and try to collect for the mazik. And therefore, the Marshal says the Nizik also has the right to demand this assessment be made. And this way, he has a lump sum. He's on his own. He doesn't have to chase the Mazik. It's easier for him. It's easier for the Beis Din. It's easier for everyone. So, again, there's a machlokes for whose benefit this takana was made. But certainly the Mazik has the right to insist there be a flat amount, there be an assessment, and therefore he doesn't have to worry about what happens in the future. Now, there's an interesting, the Nishmas Avram quotes of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that wants to know about the following case. A person is in an accident. The victim is rushed to the hospital, and although there's no obvious signs of trauma, as a precaution, they give him a whole battery of tests, which Baruch Hashem turn out to be negative. He gets the bill from the hospital, so he forwards it to the mazik. You have to pay repo, you have to pay for my medical expenses. So here they are, a couple of $1,000 of testing. The mazik responds, what are you talking about? I have to do repo, which means if there was any damage, you need an operation, I have to pay for it. But I'm looking at the results, and it says there is no repo. There was no damage. I'm not a mazik. I didn't do anything. So the fact that you went ahead and spent this money, that's not my problem. I'm not a mazik. I didn't cause any damage. I should be potter. So here Shlomo Zalman argues, and he says that no. He says that any tests that are normal and customary, that a reasonable person would do, and adrab al pi halacha, if you're a person, if there's a tzad sakana, you have a chiv to go do these tests. He said that would all be included in repo, that would be all included in the medical expenses. It doesn't have to be that there was actual problem. The very fact that you had to do these tests because of the mazik, that itself is enough to be mechayev. Ripoy and possibly Shevis very likely is grama, but Afal Pikein, the Torah says, you're chayev. Every case of Ripoy is probably a grama, and Afal Pikein, the Torah is mechayev you. So B'Sham Zalman is saying the same way, you're chayev on every grama, every Ripoy, this is included in the Chiddush of Ripoy. But Yanchami, we're going to see, because these Dalid, with the exception of Hezek, the other damages are grama or knosleis, they will be treated differently in Halach. They do not have the same Gedarim. There's another interesting machlokes that according to some shitas, you have the mazik can insist on paying the doctor directly. Because he can say, if I'm going to give the nizik the money, he's going to pocket it. He's not going to take care of himself. And then he's going to walk around all day blaming me for his suffering. So he can insist, you go hire a doctor, I will pay the doctor directly. And this way we know the money will actually go for what it was intended to. The next category is shevis. Shevis, you pay the mazik has to pay, reimburse the victim for his lost wages. Now, nezek already captured the fact that he's a cripple. You know, as if until the accident, this person was a professional basketball player. Now, after the accident, he's crippled, he's going to be a toll collector. So his value went down a few million dollars a year. That will all be included in Nezek. If you're selling someone and you have his lifetime of work, the fact that he is less capable is going to be captured in the Nezek. Shevis is discussing the lost wages while he's recuperating. While he's still sick, while he's being healed, that's not captured. He can't work at all. Even this watching the vegetables or the work that he'll be capable of doing when he recovers as a cripple. But today, until he recovers, he won't be able to do anything. So Shevis is the obligation to pay for those lost wages until he actually gets healed, until he's able to actually work again. Now there's an interesting Marshal. Marshal is a Chiddush. Marshal says that Shevis only applies when a person has a steady salary job. You have a person, okay, let's use an easier case. The person is an accountant. He was hurt in an accident. When he recovers, he'll be able to be an accountant again. There's no nezek. But during the period where he's sick, where he's in the hospital, there are lost wages, he won't be able to work, and there is a chiyuv of shevis. Zogt Marshal, that's only, he's an accountant, he has a steady job, he's employed by someone. So if he gets paid $1,000 a week, he's out of work for 3 weeks, so shevis is $3,000. Zogt Marshal, what happens if he's a businessman? If a businessman is out of, misses work for a month, what did he lose? So on one hand, you can say, figure out how much he made over the past year, divide that by the amount of time that he was out, and that's the damage. On the other hand, Zokta Marshal, it is certainly possible that by him being out of work, you saved him money. He didn't have an opportunity to make any bad investments. He didn't have the opportunity to go ahead and do anything that would lose money. And therefore, the Marshal says the only time you pay Shevis is when there's a clear dollar amount, he had a set salary. In the absence of a set salary, even though he generally does well, the Mashal says there will be no chiyuv of Shevis. Shvus Yaakov argues. Shvus Yaakov says, Adrab, if you look around, businessmen tend to make a lot more money than salaried employees. And therefore, it's not mistavra to say that a businessman who's earning more is less entitled to Shevis than someone who's on a set salary. And then the Shvus Yaakov says, you are entitled to Shevis. Now, how to figure it out, I don't know. Whether you look at the past 30 days of his income, the past year, look at what happens to the market afterwards, so it's going to be difficult to figure out how to put a dollar amount. But the Shvus Yaakov's point is, even if he doesn't have a steady job, if he's a businessman, he generally makes money, then we can assess a value on Shevis. It's a good question. The Shvus Yaakov doesn't explain how you do this assessment. His point is that if he's in business, he's in business, he's making money, then we, even though you don't have a salary, that's still enough, but enechanami, it's how to figure it out or what the number is, tzarechian. The last category is boishes. You have to pay for the embarrassment, you have to pay for the humiliation of what you did to the person. There are no real set rules, it depends on the people involved. an ish mechubed, a respectable person, will suffer more intensely from an embarrassment than someone who is, anyway, a low life or someone who is not an ish mechubed. We will also look at who's doing the embarrassment. If a chash of a person embarrasses you, that will be extremely painful. If someone who is less chashuv in your eyes does something to embarrass you, it will hurt less. And therefore, it's hakol lefi hamevayish hamezbayish. There's no hard number. Bezin has to make a shuma. Bezin has to look at the incident and figure out what the dollar value of this pain is. So it's usually the action. That's in most of the cases, that is the discussion. If you look at the Gemara that talks about cutting off the person's arm, the Gemara there discusses the bezoyin that he's now walking around, you know, with his arms being thrown to the dogs or whatever the case is. You do find both aspects. But the focus in most cases is the actual thing that happened. You slap someone across the face in public, that act itself is the bezoyin. It's not afterwards. There's no mark. So to sum up briefly, we have five different types of damages: nezik, tzar, ripui, shevis, and boishes. What is very clear is punitive damages do not appear in halacha. You're paying for actual dollar amounts loss, or you're paying him the value of the pain and the boishes. But punitive damages does not really exist. We are limited cases where there's a concept of knas, of dalad vehei, of kefil. But the absence of those special knasos, the dine mominis, you pay if the actual value. If Bezdin needs to do something to stop someone or prevent people from going ahead and doing this in the future, they have their own ways of doing it. Making them pay the nizik is generally not the preferred method. You also see that emotional distress, other than the actual tsar, the actual physical pain of the moment, or the boishes that are suffered, more than that, to say just emotional distress, you do not find. And therefore, the hezek, if in a case where there is a mazik, it's likely that any award will be significantly less than what a person may get under civil law. Now, these halachas are all the maximum. This is a case where you went ahead, you purposely caused the damage, it was willful, it was intentional, and even in such a case, this is the maximum. The nezek, tzar, ripui, shevis, and boishes, this is the most you will ever have to pay. From this, we're going to have to now work down whether if it was not done intentionally, if it was an accident, if there was negligence. We'll have to look at the special halachos about a doctor, the fact that he was supposed to be operating, the fact that it was a mitzvah. All these parameters are reasons to go under this, but you will never have a chiyuv above the nezek tzar, ripui, shevis, and boishes. I have heard such psakim that if a person went through something where everyone would need therapy, that perhaps it's included in ripui, because the same way he needs to be healed physically, he needs to be healed emotionally. But it's a chiddush. You'll have to go to Bez and you'll have to figure it out. It is not. I don't know of any makar in the Gemara where they talk about therapy for his emotional feelings. But there is basis in halacha. There are places that will say such things. Good. We'll have to get to that. We'll have insurance is going to be it. Okay. Well, we're going to discuss that at the very end. In a technical sense, that's from a legal point of view, I think that's incorrect. The other party is the doctor. The insurance company steps in to indemnify them. But in a technical sense, you're suing the private person, and that's why. Again, we'll get to that at the end. First, we're discussing mazik. Again, then we'll discuss groma garmi. We'll then get to halachos of doctors, and finally, malpractice insurance, and dina lachusadina. But you have to hold off on that for a little while. Now, this is all in a clear case of mazik, times in time, alpi halacha, alpi tayra. But this leads us to a very serious problem. And that is, Bezdin today does not really exist. Although we have Batei Din, you open up a directory, you'll find many Batei Din. But midoraisa, for a Bezdin to function, for a person to qualify as a Dayan, he needs to have smicha. Now smicha, today everyone has smicha, but smicha, Mikra HaDin, needs to be ish mipi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. We had in last week's parasha about Moshe was gave smicha to Yeshua. And in the absence of a smicha that traces itself back to Moshe Rabbeinu, the halacha is, if you're not a samach, you do not have the right to act as a bezdin. Now, not only do you need smicha from to trace yourself back to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's another halacha, but the smicha has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, even in the times of the Gemara, although there were smuchim around, that was only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, in Bavel, there were no smuchim. And because there were no smuchim, Me'ikar Hadin, Bezdin, could not function. Based on that, the halacha should be that we can stop the shiur right here. It's not Negea, Nezik, Tzad, Ripa, Shevas, and Boishas. Bezdin can never collect anything. Now, the Gemara in Bava Kamma in Sanhedrin says that although you midaraisa you need smuchim, although if we do not have smicha, Bezdin does not have any right to function whatsoever or give any piskei din, there's a concept of shlichusau kaavdino. Chazal saw if there would be no Bezdin, there would be chaos. So the Chazal were misaken, according to the Rajban, according to many, this is a din derabbana, that but a din in chutz la'aretz, even though the dayanim do not have smicha, even though they're not really qualified to act as a Bezdin, They are acting as a shlichus, as shluchim of the smuchim in Eretz Yisrael. Since in Eretz Yisrael we have smuchim, they are appointing the batei din in Bavel as their agents, and because they are a shliach of the smuchim, they therefore have the right to act. Now this is not a regular din of shlichus, especially today. Today there are no smuchim in Eretz Yisrael, so today we say the shlichus is we are now shluchim of the original smuchim in Eretz Yisrael who are long gone. So it's obviously not the regular type of shlichus, but the point is it is a takana, hefker bezin hefker, that but they din today can operate on as representatives of the smuchim that used to be in Eretz Yisrael. That being said, the Gemara makes two very important limitations. Chazal only gave but they din, they are not some of the authority to act as a bezin, when there are two criteria. Number one, the issue at hand has to be common. If it's something that is not common, it doesn't happen often, we don't need to make takanas. We don't have to worry about something that's uncommon. If it happens, it happens. We only are going to break the rules and allow a bezin to operate, even though they're not samuch, when the issue is something which is common, it has to be addressed. But an uncommon issue, bezin has no right to act. The second condition is that the issue at hand has to involve a chisaron kis. Someone will lost money, and if bezin will not operate, then there'll be a hefz. Someone will suffer a loss. But in a case where we're not dealing with a hefz in money, we're not dealing with a financial loss, there we go back to the ikar halacha. You need smuchim. And if there are no smuchim, Bezin has no right to give a psak. Bezin has no right to deal with the matter. Based on this, the Gemara says, today we are not dan dinei chavala. Because when you're dealing with boishes or tsar, there that's something, there's no financial loss. You've caused someone pain. Bezdin normally will make you pay for that pain. If Bezdin will not get involved, did the victim lose money? They didn't lose money. They suffered a certain amount of pain. They were embarrassed. So although midoraisa there's a chiyuv, but since we do not have smuchim, Bezdin does not have the right to address the matter. Now nezek, sheves, and ripui. There's a real loss. Person's value went down. He's not able to work. He has medical bills. There is a hefsid moment. But there, according to our Gersa in the Gemara, we cannot don either, because it's a milsa to l'shchiach. People generally do not get into fights where they hurt each other to that extent, where there's permanent damage, where there are doctor bills, where the person is laid up, he can't go to work. It happens on occasion, but it is not common. Since it is not common, the Gemara says, ain't done in dini knosas in bebavel. Knas here doesn't mean the regular definition of knas. Therefore, the halacha is we are not dan dine chavola in Bavel. And if a person is mazik, a person intentionally goes ahead, cuts someone off, and causes these damages, Bezin cannot collect it in Bavel. Yes, halacha is if he is tafos, if he grabs the money on his own, then the halacha is, the money is still owed. The halacha is, a mazik has to pay nezik tzar riba shevis and boishas. Here we have a limitation. There's no Bezdin that's authorized to go ahead and collect it. But if the Nizik grabs it, since he's entitled to the money, he can keep it. Bezdin now may get involved to figure out that he grabbed extra, but that's only when the Nizik on his own gets a hold of the Mazik's money. But for Bezdin to go ahead and to have a case and say, tell the Mazik, this is what you need to pay and force him to pay, that they cannot do because they do not have smicha.
Doesn't the Mishnah say that 40 years before the Korban Bayis, there already stopped being done in a flushes because it was more how most people were killing each other? I mean, it was common thing?
Well, that even if nefashas were common, that doesn't necessarily mean that chavala is. I mean, they did it right. They did it all the way. But what this Gemara is saying is that it is uncommon. That's the fact that the Gemara says that it's not common to have chavalas. Now, based on this, we can end the shiur right now. It's not again nezek tzaribah shavus and boishes. We don't have a bezin today. We're not done it, and therefore, the whole discussion is not negay. However, three points need to be made. The first is, as we just said, that this is all a question of bezin. Certainly, where a mazik has these chiyuvim, he owes nezek tzaribah shavus and boishes. Bezdin may not be able to get involved, but if you want to know what he owes, Lotis de Shemayim, he certainly owes this amount of Nezek Tzai Ripa Shevas and Baishas. The second Nakuda is, the Rambam has a Chiddush. The Rambam seems to have a different Girsa in the Gemara. The Rambam says, although we're not done Nezek Tzai and Baishas, he says, Ripoy and Shevas, paying for doctor bills, or paying medical expenses, or paying for lost wages, that we do deal with even in Bavel. Now, either the Rambam had a different girsa. I mean, most learned the Rambam had a different girsa. Others learned that the Rambam held it's not common to get into an accident or to beat someone up so badly he's permanently crippled. So nezek, we're not done. But Shripoy and Shevis, where it just means you give him a punch, he has to go to the doctor, he loses a few days' work, that is perhaps more common. And therefore, the Rambam holds that Shripoy and Shevis we do deal with in Bava. It's only nezek, tzar, and boishes that we cannot. Now, this Rambam is not Muslim clear. Mechaber Passans like the Rambam, the Yamshel Shleim, he also does. However, the Ramah argues. Ramah says we don't find such chalukim, and really the Pashas of our Gemara is like the Ramah, that we do not deal with any Dinei Chavala. So my advice is, if you have to get into a fight, and you're planning on losing the fight, start up with a Sfardi. Because at least the Sfardim follow the Psak of the Mechaber, so you could perhaps bring him to Bezdin, and they can pay for the Ripoy and Shevis. On the other hand, if you lose a fight with an Ashkenazi, he has a kimli like the Ramah, and you'll not be able to mechayev him. Alternatively, and also we discussed it in the past, it could be that if you do lose the fight, you just go to a Sfardi Bezdin. Because there, regardless of who the other party is, if the Dayanim are Sfardim, there they may follow the Shittas of Mechaber and make the person pay at least Ripoy and Shevis. Now the third Nakuda is that although Bezdin does not have the jurisdiction or the authority to don chavala because it's milsud lo shchiach and we're not don in bava, we're not smuchim. However, the Torah brings down that although we cannot deal with it as a bezdin, there was a minog emerged that bezdin would put a person in chayrim. That if bezdin saw that a person was chayvul b'chaveri, he caused another person damage, they would put him in chayrim, and they would say, we don't have the right to don dinei knasos. We don't have the right to go ahead, figure out how much you owe, you don't owe. But one thing we do know. You're a Rasha, you hurt someone else. We're putting you in Chayrim until you're a Mephias, the other person. Now the Torah explained, Bezin doesn't give a number on it. But Bezin basically says, until you're a Mephias him, we're keeping you in Chayrim. And then they would see, if the Mazik on his own would go ahead and would offer the Nizik an amount of money that was reasonable, Bezdin would at that point say, okay, we see you're trying to do tshuva, you're trying to mephias him, they would take off the chayrim. So Bezdin would never make an exact calculation. They wouldn't say, you have to pay this amount and we'll take off the chayrim. But Bezdin would on their own, they would internally come up with a number based on nezek tzai ripa shevas, and they would make an estimate. And if they see the mazik is offering a ballpark figure, at that point they would say, you did your part, and they would take off the chayrim. So although Bezdin cannot directly don dinei knasos, although we cannot directly go ahead and force someone to pay for the damage, Bezdin can put a person in chayrim and keep the chayrim on until the person goes ahead and is mephias the nizik in an appropriate amount. Now even this chiddush is controversial. Some poskim say that is the equivalent of collecting knas and bava. But in the halacha l'maisa, this seems to be the hanhoga and the minhog that Bezdin can do that, and that is whenever we're dealing with chavala, Bezdin will never figure out the exact number. Our discussion before about Eved Ivri, Eved Kanani, how do you figure out a slave market today? The reason why the place will discuss it is because it's not relevant. Bezdin will never go ahead and actually bring a person down to a slave market because they don't have the right to do that. Bezdin can just come up with their own estimate of what a fair number is and put the person in chayrim until he actually pays that up. So to briefly summarize, we started off that a mazik, a person with intent to damage, pays nezik taripa shevis and boishes. That being said, in Bavel, we don't have smuchim, we do not have the right to collect it. But nevertheless, Bezin can put a person in cheirim until he's mafayis the nezik and pays an amount that's roughly in the ballpark. This is all assuming the damage was done intentionally. You went ahead, you got angry at a person, and you bedafka caused them harm. What happens if that's not the case? What happens if the damage was done unintentionally? And in most cases, medical malpractice, we'll deal with different levels, there'll be negligence. It's very rare for a doctor just to get angry at a patient and amputate an arm. Usually it's a mistake. Sometimes it's a mistake that's done, that there's a level of negligence, gross negligence. Sometimes it's less than that. But certainly it's not done with the intent to damage. How does halacha look at such cases? So what we're going to see is there are three separate levels. When you're dealing with a chiyuv of boishes, paying someone for his humiliation, there the Gemara says, you're only chayav for boishes if your intent was to embarrass him. If it's inadvertent, if it's a shayig, if you did not have kavanosai to cause the damage or to cause that humiliation, you're not going to be responsible. Boishes is the most kav. It's the easiest one. To be chayav the person, you need true intent. On the other extreme, head by mazik, so there the Gemara says, and on Daf Chav Tes, it's actually a Mishnah, that Adam Mu'ar L'Olam. A person is always responsible for his actions, Ben Shoyig, Ben Mezeh, Ben Oynes, Ben Ratzon. Even if the person is an Oynes, he does not do it on purpose, he had no intention of doing it, still a person is always responsible for his actions, and if he causes damage, he's going to have to pay for the Hezek. We'll get back to this in a moment. But that is talking about Hezek. There's a special pasuk, Petzatachas Potza. We have a special drosha to tell you, even though it was an oinus, even though it wasn't your intent, you still have to pay. Zag the Gemara, this is only true by Mazik, when we're dealing with Hezek. There we have a special chiddush, we have a special gezeiras hakosuv, even though it was an accident, you still have to pay. However, the other gimel dvarim, the tsar, ripoy, and sheves, there the halacha is, this drasha does not apply. And there we say, Oynes Rachmana Patra. There, unless you are a shoygeg karev lemezid, unless there is a degree of negligence, you do not pay the other dalad dvarim. You only pay for hezek. So if a person goes ahead and is an oynes, so hezek, the amount that he went down in value, that you have to pay even though it's an oynes, but the other dalad dvarim, Tzar, Ripo, Yeshevus, and Boishes, you will not have to pay unless it was a negligence, unless it's a Shoyge car of Lameza. So a person is driving the car, so if he goes ahead, he gets angry at someone who cut him off, and he purposely rams into him, that is Kavanase Lehazik. There he pays the Dal Dvarim. On the other hand, if he's driving normally, he hits some black ice or something, and he sneezes, and he goes ahead, and that causes an accident. So there, it's an oinus. An oinus in most cases will be chayiv and hezek. The actual damage you cause, person will be responsible for. But the other, the ripoy, shevis, and boishes, and the tsar, the things that are more like a grama, that even though, so there, you're only responsible if it was a pshia, if it was a shayi karev lemezid. But in the absence of that, if a person was driving normally and an oinus happened, there he would not be responsible for the other dal dvarim. Correct. So as far as boishes, he'd be potter because boishes needs kavanosa lahazik. As far as hezek, you'd certainly be chayev because hezek is chayev even boinus. As far as the other gimel dvarim, so if it's a pshia, if it's a shoyge karev lemezid, you would be responsible for the gimel dvarim. So texting would be chayev four out of the five types of damage. On the other hand, if you're driving normally and you sneeze, so it's very, you're talking, hezek you'd be chayev because you're chayev even boinus. Again, we'll discuss next week, you're not according to some rishayim, you're not responsible for every oinus, but for now, hezek is chayev boinus. The other gimel dvarim, the medical bills, the sheves, and the tsar, there, since it's you're only responsible if there is a pshia, if it's karev lemezin, otherwise you're going to be pater. So we're going to stop here for now. But what we'll deal with next week is we'll have to discuss how the damage happens, Din the halacha is a brahma and garmi. And as we're going to see, doctors are treated, especially in halacha, there are special takonos that were made specifically for doctors, and we'll have to deal with how that plays a role in halacha l'maaseh.